You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Oh, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. This is a podcast brought to you by the We Are Libertarians Network. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. And thank you to everyone who donates. We are always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@wearelibertarians.com. Like I said, I am Chris Spangle. I am your host. This is your pre-inaugural edition. We will be talking about the end of Obama and the beginning of Trump tonight. And with me to discuss that is the effervescent Greg Lenz. I almost said Donald Trump.
I take that as a compliment, so you're more than welcome to refer to me as God Emperor Trump.
I know you do. So I also am pleased to welcome back Mr. Tad Western.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me back. Greg, how are you?
Good to see you, buddy.
Tad.
Oh, how are you guys
doing? You look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
I am, you know. I've been off. I'm on the wagon.
Yeah.
You're shaking.
I know. Well, I thought I was going Michael J. Fox, but it's just the alcohol withdrawals.
Tad Western decided after the last time he was on the show, he'd clean up his act. Isn't that right, Tad?
Yeah, I'm only drinking water, and I'm eating clean, and I feel a lot better, except I'm shaking a lot, and I'm not as happy. I get grumpy so easily.
Has it affected your memes?
You know, meme production is down under no alcohol.
Yeah.
Because I used to just shit out a couple memes when I hit the bottle.
yours this morning was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one. I actually found that at 4 o'clock in the morning last night, and I was going to...
What was the meme, Tad? Western?
Well, it was a Snapchat, and it was a man's face pretty... And he looked kind of distraught and kind of sad and sweaty.
Very handsome man.
And he was handsome. He has glasses... Kind of resembled Dear Leader,
right.
And the caption on it was, I sent you a picture of my dick, please respond, or something like that.
Not only a funny meme, but also true, accurate. I just never received that from you. Yeah, hold on just 1 second, Tad.
Yeah, that happened, happened in several months.
We just had to have a technical glitch there. No, I immediately forwarded that on to a friend of ours, Miranda. And demanded more nudes, and she did not send them, but I'm hoping. Well, fingers crossed.
The best part about it was I waited till the morning to send it to the group. I'm like, damn it, Spangle. Why did you send me this last night? So everybody thought he actually did. And they're like, damn.
You had done a really good job of blurring where you had inserted him from overlaid over the other person.
I put like 15 different filters on it just to make sure it looked legit, like a low light Snapchat, and he was
I found the glamour glow filter.
I found him the best shitty pouty face that I could find that was high quality, and then
it was very solemn.
He was just like, oh, I know she opened up, but she didn't send me anything back.
The wistful laugh in the background is Aaron Ewert. Aaron, how are you doing?
Chris? Doing good.
You are the
feel great.
You are the cousin of Tad Western.
I am. We rode in on the same horse. We have a double saddle.
It's not a wagon?
No. I'm off the wagon. He's on it.
Yeah.
Did you intentionally skip over Harry?
No, not yet, because as you know, we are professional broadcasters, Greg, you and I. Some of these folks, meaning Aaron, are not professionals like us.
I never claimed to be.
And they talked before they were introduced.
No, I didn't talk.
Which is a no-no.
I didn't talk.
And then there are semi-professional broadcasters like Harry Price, who joins us, and he was sitting silently.
He's chomping on like seaweed or something.
Yeah, what are you eating?
It's a dried seaweed wrap. It's really good. You should try it.
Oh, those aren't his.
Oh, well, this. Yeah, I think this is his. Maybe
they are. They are mine.
I was gonna say, because he's mine are spicy.
Mine's are spicy. These aren't that spicy.
So Harry walks in and demands a snack like a toddler,
really?
And then shits on it. Immediately goes, "This isn't the kind that I like."
They're mayonnaise flavored seaweed.
They're not mayonnaise.
They are Fresh Thyme branded roasted seaweed, teriyaki flavored. Which flakes?
Which is
that the proper term?
They're not flakes. They're little. They're like. How would you describe it, Harry?
It's kind of like a flake. It's like a chip.
It's like a very thin chip.
It looks like goldfish food, but you'd feed it to like a 100-pound catfish.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And Harry has eaten all of them.
Oh, I had a pack before you.
I'm sure these aren't cheap.
They're $1.99 a piece.
Are you kidding?
They're super cheap.
Oh, they look like they'd be every bit of $4.99 or $8.99, something like that.
It's seaweed.
It doesn't say organic though.
Why don't you go ahead and read the calories?
This is 30 calories per half package.
That's right.
0 grams of saturated fat. 50 milligrams of sodium. Less than 1 gram of sugar. Free from artificial colors and flavors, artificial preservatives, and gluten.
It's a shame they're disgusting.
They're not disgusting. Yeah, they're not delicious. Disgusting. They're delicious.
You should get it spicy, like wasabi flavor. That's one of my favorite. Or sea salt.
Harry likes it spicy.
Yeah, like spicy. Like that wasabi. Like
I like the lightly salted Lay's. That's about as spicy as I go.
Harry immediately walked in and started reviewing. I had rearranged the kitchen, and he started reviewing my stand of hot sauces.
He's very judgmental.
He's very up.
You say judgmental. I say observant.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've got an old bird bath. I just remembered this. Yes. I think I'm gonna start growing those out in my front yard and selling them if they're going for $2.99 a bag.
$1.99, yeah.
$1.99.
Oh, whatever.
But
I'm going to be charging $2.99 because I'm not going to be homegrown.
Well, listen, when you're...
Tad Western seaweed flakes.
Listen, when you are a high-performance athlete like myself, you've got to fuel the performance of your... machinery.
Just so everyone knows, he put on a headband.
I put on my Wilson headband, like Andre Agassi, because I went to the gym today. I'm burning a lot of calories. My tea is very high, and I'm sweating a lot. My body temperature is up. I have burned so many calories today, and so I've got to keep cool and dry. You know how it is. Later, let me get this on straight so you can
like
get a good
extra
photo here.
From Dodgeball 6.
Yeah.
Yes. So there we go. We got it on nice and tight. You can see a photo of this high performance athlete at We Are Libertarians on Instagram, on our Facebook. We'll probably just post it the Instagram, but we post some dank memes there as well. So check that out. We will also have on our Instagram, our Facebook, and our Twitter, and everywhere else in our group. We have a group. A lot of you, we mentioned this last week, and a lot of you went and added it. You can join with other Weird Libertarians fans. I don't like to use the word fans because that means we're better than you. We're not. We're better than Democrats, and we're better than Republicans. But
and Bittner.
We're not better.
But that's
than
it. Just
and Bittner.
Barely.
Yes. Yes. No.
You had a temporary relapse this week.
Meaning
you made a public post saying that you might be Bittner.
Well, let me finish this. We're gonna in 20 minutes. We're going to talk to our correspondent.
Yes.
Okay,
we're moving up in the world.
So we'll get to Bittner in a second, but yeah, we've taken your donations and we've managed to hire our own inauguration correspondent.
Nice.
So Tanner is headed out to Washington D.C. right now. He's in the car, and we will talk to Tanner and we'll tell you a little bit more about him. But he will be filing reports on Inauguration Day on Friday, and so go back and check that out on the Instagram. We will also have some posts from Hannah and Chloe are at the inauguration. And they say they're going to file reports, but we know the track record of those two.
They're really going to take selfies in front of the monuments and be basic.
Exactly right. They already have.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's what they're doing.
Right. A woman's place is in the House and Congress. Okay. The House and Senate, I think the t-shirt was.
You know where it isn't?
To which you replied.
Why aren't you in the kitchen?
Kitchen. Yeah. Right.
There you go, Greg.
You know what that sweatshirt doesn't say is the White House.
So I listen, Brett Bittner, he's had a rough time the last few months. You know, I've had several conversations with him, and I live in the county where Brett Bittner has just been elected to the county chairmanship of our Libertarian Party, the largest county in Indiana. Brett Bittner is now chairman. So I am being ruled by Bittner, and I'm not happy about it, Greg, at all.
Really? You didn't want to step up to the plate and challenge his nomination?
Well, the choice was between Bittner and I, and so I immediately left the room.
So it was more a case, it was a war of attrition more so than an election.
And so Bittner, but yes.
That's how passionate we are about liberty.
I got a little weak in the knees about never Bittner.
We did. Not me. You.
Bittner has lost 17% of Bittner. He's lost a lot of weight.
He looks very good, very healthy.
He's doing the keto. Well, healthy is a word that you could use, but he looks...
Bittner healthy.
Good is another word you could use. He looks like skinny Bittner is probably the best description. He's not as hot as his sister. That's for sure. She's spicy. Have you seen pictures of his sister?
Yeah, I've seen the photos. Spicy yoga. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Spicy. Yeah.
He cut your knees out from under you.
He C-blocked me for sure.
He told his sister that you had low T.
Oh, there's no coming back from low T.
So it is weird how he brags about how hot his sister is at yoga with Harry, isn't it?
How weird is that? You know, Trump.
Well, he's from Georgia.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a cultural thing. Let's not judge. Let's not jump to conclusions.
Aaron has a hot sister. I don't see him walking around talking. And he's from Martinsville.
Exactly.
That's north of the Mason-Dixon.
Tad Western. Mrs. Western is hot as F.
That's his mother.
She is. She's smoking hot.
Don't talk about Mammy like that.
Mammy is...
Mammy Western.
Mammy and Nuna.
Nuna.
You leave Nunu out of this.
Nuna is not spicy. She's spry. So.
Spangle has a thing for well-aged women.
I think he just wants to be a part of the Weiss bloodlines.
It's true.
Or the Western blood. Yeah. I'm sorry, the Western Empire.
Yes.
Are you trying to marry in? Are you Jared Kushner or whatever his name? You trying to get some of that?
family name?
Yeah.
So Bittner has lost 17% of Bittner, and he's taking our advice, and he's wasting away to nothing. And I complimented on that, and I said, you know, if anybody is willing to erase Bittner, I'm with them. So I might have to be possibly Bittner, and you were a calm voice of reason, like you always are for me.
I just, you know, I was afraid that he was using his reality distortion field on you.
Yes.
And I wanted to, you know, I had to hit, like, reset you by popping you in the head like Benny Hinn to get you back on track.
Yes, yes.
Heal!
Yes. Bittner is, you know, one of our associates. Let's not go friend. But he's a good friend of the program.
Friends of the program. Yes. For anyone that's seen Blue Chips, he's our happy Kuykendall.
Friend. Whoa. Sorry, Mr. Weiss. Are you okay over there? Are you microaggressed?
I couldn't tell if that was an actual Jewish name or just a slur.
You know you remember Happy from Blue Chips.
And but Harry has taken to yoga. Mm-hmm. Harry is the most basic white girl of any one of us, and yet his melanin is the most prolific.
Very high.
I just enjoy, you know, going to yoga. I love my UGG boots. They keep my feet warm. I like coffee. Starbucks just has to be close. I like Perrier because I'm not drinking right now. That's why I do that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you're on the wagon too. Man, everybody's on the wagon.
Yeah.
You're not. Or no, well, you are too. Typically. Yeah, you are too.
It's a new year, new Greg. Come on, let's go.
No. I'm perfectly okay with myself.
You can't drink every single day.
I haven't drank in a while. Or I mean, I'm not a hard drinker.
I know.
I drink with purpose. Like if I'm drinking, I'm drinking.
It's just
but
funny.
If I'm not, it's I don't want a couple beers.
It's just funny to make Greg out to be like, Greg only smokes cigars, eats red meat, and drinks bourbon. Mm-hmm. And it,
I like scotch better than bourbon, but
Greg's a real man.
Fist bump.
So, but Harry,
yeah, some
so
Republican just won't wash off. Yeah. You try, but it just won't go away. Mm-hmm.
So Brett took a photo of Harry, and he was wearing his UGG boots. He was wearing, he had a Starbucks mug, his water bottle, his Gaiam.
Gotta say hydrated.
His Gaiam yoga mat. Mm-hmm. He was, what else was there in that photo?
The backpack.
I had on my custom made like wool beanie that my friend's grandmother knitted for me. Keeps my head warm. I like it. It's all personally made for me, you know?
Right.
Sorry, it's just what I like. It makes me comfortable. See, I'm 6 foot tall, so my feet are usually cold this time of year, so the UGG boots keeps my feet warm.
What does your height have to do with it?
My feet are very far away from my
heart.
Heat
rises. So it's coldest down at the ground level.
Do you know anything about global warming?
Yeah. And my hairstyle doesn't keep heat in. It lets it out very easily.
Is that the truth? I would think that it's more. There's more hair. It's more compact, so it would keep it in.
No, that's not how that works.
You must have been wearing those UGG boots at the wedding. You didn't get cold feet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, your mic's off.
How long has he had that one chambered?
I know, right?
Did you read his joke he wrote and had prepared and was ready to click post, and then he sent it to us. I guys, should I post this? And Spangle's like,
the joke
I don't
was
get
not
it.
Horrible.
I thought it had 9 typos in it. I was like, did he auto-correct this?
Yeah,
what was the joke?
I don't know. It was something
yes,
like...
Yes, you do. You don't know because you stole it from the DCG. I saw it posted there later. No. He let me in his meme den, and so now I have all his memes before he does.
Hmm. No. I changed it to Tinder to
from
relate
Bumble?
To... Yeah. So, no, it wasn't really a dating app joke. It was something else. I can't remember what it was, but that sparked it.
Good segment. Thanks.
Yeah.
go look that up. Look that up. Okay. We got to have... the listeners need their payoff, bro. Mm-hmm. So Harry is a basic bitch. Harry's also Harry is.
I did kind of catch myself watching Gilmore Girls and drinking coffee today.
Caught yourself.
Oh look, Gilmore Girls on again.
Greg, should we ask him to leave?
Well, you know,
I think Harry's onto something though.
I don't know. He knows anyone that likes Gilmore Girls, I personally don't like.
I think he knows where all the white women are. You gotta.
It's true. He
you
does
gotta infiltrate them. Figure out what.
But he's already
is,
married.
What they do.
Harry's got a white girl.
I know this, yeah. But I'm saying I think I must take note and I must start doing yoga.
Can
a
we?
A lot of white girls there.
Now, do they let cowboy hats and cowboy boots in, or will they get too sweaty?
No, your cowboy hat will work. You know, a lot of different poses.
I'm gonna wear my
black
jeans. So they kind of look like yoga pants.
Your skinny jeans.
Yes.
See, the thing that that concerns me is Harry's tea.
It's extremely extremely high.
Yeah, but you're watching Gilmore Girls. Do you
extremely
cry?
Extremely high tea.
You do have nice biceps. And can we talk about the
what
the
situation?
The situation, not situation. Your situation. The other hers.
Oh yeah, you can talk about it. Yeah. My wife is pregnant. I got her pregnant. I got her pregnant in October, right before we was watching Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that was romantic.
Heck yeah.
That's the most libertarian conception story of all time.
Immaculate.
Yeah. Oh,
please
yeah.
Tell me you didn't look her in the eye.
Never.
How could you see her eyes when they're facing the pillow?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I bent her over, told her to fill out this mortgage, you know, agreement, and then, you know... Next thing I know, I got a kid out of it. But you know what?
Do you know the sex yet?
Not yet. We'll find out in March.
Okay.
Yeah. But
are you contemplating names yet?
Yeah. I've got a couple of names picked out. Because right now, like with my name, my middle name, and my last name, I have 5 characters each one of those, and Lacey does 2. Especially now that I'm changing her last name from Batorf to Price. Mm-hmm. So she's all 555, and I'm 555 now, so I'm going to plan on trying to do that for a kid.
Did he just turn his kid into binary?
Yeah, he should go 25, 25, 25. That would be really awesome.
That's incredibly long.
I know.
And I already
Did
have
Herman
like,
Cain your kid?
999.
It'd just be cool because it'd keep the character to the kids. If I don't, I'll pick something goofy. Like I thought about like if it's a girl, like name her Emma Peel, like off the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Emma is a very conservative name.
Emma's trendy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Emma Watson.
No, Emma Peel.
How dare you? Yeah, he just got so up.
Altogether?
Mad.
Yeah. No underscore to
no
hook them together?
No underscore. No hashtag? Emma Peel. She's got her username built in.
No dash or hyphen?
He is naming his child after the username she will eventually use.
Exactly.
Did you just hear that?
Mm-hmm. I figured it'd be Japanese since he's Satoshi Nakamoto.
Whoa.
What does that mean?
Creator of Bitcoin.
Don't be Satoshi.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he is. Like, not joking. I think there's. It's very likely that Harry is within one circle of one circle of a social network of Satoshi Nakamoto.
Probably. I do not know who Satoshi is, but I probably have been in the room with Satoshi.
Yeah, I think you're real close.
But I do not know who Satoshi is. But like I said, probably was in the room, maybe close proximity. But I don't know who it is.
Well. All right, so let's move on to the inauguration and talk about our plans for the inauguration. So we've got our correspondent. Now, we told you that we've hired a correspondent to go out to Washington, D.C. and to cover the inauguration of Donald Trump. That is tomorrow. You know, we record on Thursday evenings most weeks, and then I usually, most of the time, get it up the next day. I will get this up probably tonight. And we have sent a reporter out to Washington, D.C. I mean, We Are Libertarians has grown a lot.
It has.
In 2016.
We are, 10 feet higher.
We are approaching our fifth year.
March, isn't that weird?
March 8th is when I was the date of our first podcast.
Yeah. I am shocked that it has been that long because it does not seem it. It seems like it's been a blink of an eye. But then when I was just thinking back the other day, you mentioned someone had been on and observed, and right. I couldn't even remember who it was. And then I was looking through my Instagram, and I found a picture of I'm having a brain fart right now. But the guy that brought enchiladas, Josh Breyer,
yeah.
Breyer, yeah. And I just like, man, I forgot we've done so much over so many years. It's just incredible.
It is. Sorry, Harry, I didn't mean to turn your headphones down. Is that better? Is that better?
That's better.
All right, Harry's actually using headphones. We're going to call our Washington D.C. correspondent. His name is Tanner Perdue, and now listen. You guys contribute, you cover the cost, but we've scrimped and saved for this correspondent, but you don't donate a lot. So the only reporter that we could afford is a 20-year-old stoner from Henry County, Indiana. Now, as you
one
know,
of Jeremiah Morrill's loyal foot soldiers in the Henry County Libertarian Party.
Exactly. And so Tanner is going to go out there and give us the scene. The funny thing, we'll ask him. So let's give him a call. Let's call Tanner. So Tanner is going to be reporting for us on the road. We'll give this a shot. Just give him a call so you can have a little taste of Tanner. This phone call will be the first time I've ever had a conversation with him.
Really?
I've never really talked to Tanner Perdue. That's the
call him Danny.
We have the strictest hiring guidelines.
That is what a great businessman I am. So hopefully he picks up, but he probably thinks it's a bill collector. I mean,
true
honestly,
to libertarian fashion.
Cannot be reached at the moment.
Well, leave a message. Tanner said to call about now because now's when he'd be the most quote unquote baked. Hey, Tanner, it's Chris with We Are Libertarians. Give this number a call back, or we'll call you here in just another minute. And we'll touch base with you. We just want to get an interview. I'm here with all the guys, and we're going to talk to you. We're not the police. We're not going to have you arrested. We're not narcs, Harry.
We're not bill collectors.
No, we're not bill collectors. Although what am I thinking? You have no money. You're a 20-year-old pothead. So we'll call you right back. All right, buddy.
You're a correspondent for a podcast.
So
living the dream.
So yes. Yeah.
You got to start somewhere.
So thank goodness for Citizen Media. Did you see that Alex Jones is going to have a White House correspondent?
Is he really?
For sure.
You know, honestly, the size of his setup, he should.
Empire.
I mean, he has, what did you say, he has 80 million?
He claims 80 million.
So it's really, I mean, but I would guess conservatively, he has around 10 million loyal daily viewers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and people that visit the website, listen to the show.
between podcast, radio listeners, video view, I mean, his video views are off the charts.
Yeah, and so like I mean Drudge is linking to him now, and Drudge gets billions and billions. He's the most visited website on the internet, to my knowledge.
Well,
even more than Facebook. He gets more page views.
I mean, InfoWars is in the top 100 of all websites.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make him news. I mean, he gives out a lot of information. Like, I wouldn't call us news.
I mean, if Matt Drudge links to you, you're a news provider, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, you get information from us.
Yeah.
You get information from Alex Jones.
Alex Jones has done a lot more just information than analysis lately.
Right.
Which is, you know, not what I would have expected, because it seems that everyone's tried to make money off being just an opinion provider.
But here's the thing. Like, I looked at his website the other day, or his YouTube channel, and he had... America braces for unprecedented growth. Well, that doesn't seem to be like news, because I watched it. I was like, so what's the metric that you're using? And there really wasn't one.
No.
What is going on over here?
You two are game planning and laughing.
I'm trying to figure out why he has an 18-letter password on his phone.
Why wouldn't you have an 18-letter password?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a 19-letter password.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Is it, what is it?
Tad Western.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Tad hanging Chad Western.
Exclamation point. I have, 69.
I have to tell you, the Tad Western thing cracks me up.
It does me
what
too.
What do you mean it cracks you up? I am Tad fucking Western.
Now, you're working on a podcast, aren't you?
Working? I've already recorded my first episode.
You have?
Yeah. It's not very good, because... I was super pissed off last night once my dog shit on my floor, but that's another story. I go into that in the podcast, so download it whenever you get the chance. Tad Talk is the name of the podcast.
Hopefully Tanner picks up this time.
They're using that crappy microphone?
Yeah. It's the only one I got. I'm not privileged. Like,
quit
you,
shaming
Harry.
Him, Harry.
Harry just immediately, he's so smug.
As soon as I typed that, I was like, fuck. Harry's gonna kill me.
Harry's gonna jump. If you have anything,
this person cannot be reached at.
Hey man, what's happening? This is Chris.
Hey bro. So we'll try him again here in a second. Now, Tad. Tad posted a photo of the Blue Yeti microphone. And anytime you post food, alcohol, or technology in the chat, Harry immediately goes. Right.
It's not as good as my six grills.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't mean teeth.
Why don't you have a Maybach?
All right, so...
It's just the Blue Yeti microphone. It's like that default crappy microphone most podcasters get. It's good to have, because when you finally realize how much it sucks, you at least have a microphone to drop.
Well, I bought the one that's not only the USB, but it's also got the actual plugins in it, so...
Oh yeah, the so XLRs.
I can go into a board if I want to.
All right, Greg did some show prep for us, some very nice show prep. Everybody, get your papers, get your homework out.
Mine's in
Turn
Spanish.
To page one. Well, we know that you are El Gringo.
Well, this is the last time we can do it in Spanish, because you know tomorrow there won't be any more Hispanics in the United States at all.
Let's talk about tomorrow.
Spanish is being outlawed.
We'll talk about. Let's talk about tomorrow. Because I think...
Want to lead with the inauguration?
Immediate listeners, I think we can take a short time. I saw you put John Lewis in there. I really don't care about John Lewis.
No, I just... You know, there's, like, the inauguration's so all-encompassing.
Right.
You know, there's so... I mean, there's... We could talk about that for two episodes.
Sure.
But, you know, I did think... The John Lewis has created a stir around the inauguration that is unbelievable. Especially that it almost seems well-planned and timely because of Martin Luther King Jr. holiday
absolutely.
On Monday.
Well, John Lewis, Dinesh D'Souza, whatever his name is, called him a minor player in the civil rights movement, and that couldn't have been... Thank you, Harry. This is why we have Harry here.
No, like, he's laughing at Snapchat.
No, I'm laughing at that calling him a minor player. You're right, because he's just a guy that was on a bridge.
Right, no. John Lewis, like...
That one time.
Like, there's Martin Luther King, Ralph Abernathy, John Lewis, and then Stokely Carmichael and Malcolm X. Like... John Lewis is in the top tier of organizers. I mean, he was head of SNCC, and he was a big deal. But, you know, he was gave a he spoke at the March on Washington in 1963. He wasn't a minor player by any means, but he's been a Democrat.
As a legislator, he's an extremely minor player.
Absolutely.
But figure in the civil rights movement, he's enormous.
Right. He's lived off of that his whole career. And he is he's just a Democratic Party hack when it comes to being a politician. I have great admiration for what he did during the civil rights movement and the bravery that he showed there. And I do think that he's probably a decent man, but he's, as a legislator, he's just a total party hack.
Yeah, he's like Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Yeah.
And to say you're not going, you're boycotting Donald Clinton, Trump, the only reason that it gets news is because he said it on Martin Luther King the day before MLK Day on one of the, you know, the Meet the Press shows.
Like but a coward.
That movement has very few still nationally prominent commentators and people who are actually there. He's sure. Sort of the last of an age that
yes.
You can go to and talk about it and, you know, relive those memories so it's still relevant.
Like, because a lot of and it did happen a while back, a lot of them have aged, but also a lot of them wasn't really well liked by the black community for stirring up trouble during civil rights. Mm-hmm. Rosa Parks did not have a good time when she got on the bus afterwards from the black community. She wasn't well liked by the black community.
Sure.
You know, so a lot of them have good reasons to get out of the spotlights, and usually the scumbag one stayed in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm. Like Jesse Jackson, Martin Luther King despised Jesse. He didn't despise him, but he viewed him as somebody who was eager to get the spotlight. And anytime anybody is eager to get attention like that and they're young, you go, okay, you're in too much of a hurry, you know? And so he was of a new generation, you know, where he hadn't really been there the whole time. He had come around from Chicago just shortly a little before the time of the assassination of MLK, but like John Lewis had been there from nearly the beginning and mm-hmm. started SNCC, Students Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, until he was ousted by Stokely Carmichael, who was a much more radical voice. But yeah, Harry's right. Like in the black community, in the white community in the South, like this is the, and we'll talk a little bit about MLK later if we get some time. But the thing about the civil rights movement is, and anytime you're trying to push society forward, you're agitating, you're irritating, you're agitating, you're trying to get people moving in a certain direction, you're trying to pull a paradigm with the Overton window to a certain point.
Yeah.
And so the people who just want to go along to get along, they're not really down for the cause, you know?
There's a, you know, there's almost like a societal growth where clearly, like, it's like where we are with marijuana right now is that everyone for the most part accepts legalization. And that's just like with civil rights, is that it was coming around, but there hadn't been that tipping point that pushed it over the edge that, you know, was an inflection point for the movement that resulted in political change, because that tends to happen last. And so they were years and years and years. And with Rosa Parks, that that was sort of the tipping point. But they had, you know, Claudette Colvin was the one who, 9 months before Rosa Parks in Montgomery, got arrested, and she was 16 years old mm-hmm. because she refused to give up her seat on the bus. She was pregnant, and that's why they didn't choose to use her and rally around her in support to create that tipping point or inflection point.
Right. Everybody, yeah. the conservatives, every MLK Day, conservatives drag out all these stupid anti-black talking points. You know, like MLK was, you know, MLK was
they're not talking points like those. Like I post everything I posted was fact. It just it bothered you iconoclastic.
No, I just didn't care.
Yeah,
I like
it. Just shows him as a human on a holiday supporting the work that he has done.
Martin Luther King was in his college days a plagiarist.
It was when he was getting his PhD, and he just used 50% of someone else's PhD, copy and paste. Not unlike the Margaret Hoover, who has just had to, you know, recuse herself from seeking a Trump administration.
Monica Crowley.
Monica Crowley, sorry. Yeah. But, from having to take a role in the Trump administration.
And he was also an adulterer, but they also say, oh, well, he was a Republican, and then you hear Rosa Parks worked for the NAACP, which is absolutely true. But she was a volunteer for the NAACP. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a surprise that somebody was politically active and made a political stand, you know. And so, yeah, it isn't true that she just was riding the bus one day and blah, blah, blah. Like, somehow the fact that she was some sort of agitator makes her less of an icon. And that's where, like, Republicans and conservatives just, like, they try to tear down the civil rights movement. And it's just gross. Like, if you really actually study the civil rights movement, which I can't recommend Taylor Branch's three books enough. There's like one, there's a fourth book that just came out that's kind of a compilation that's really good. If you can't read, you know, 1,500 pages, or The Eyes on the Prize, if you're a documentary person on PBS, was a great documentation of it all. But, you know, the civil rights movement was such a beautiful thing in American history where people were able to force society and government into massive change without violence, without, you know, being elected officials. They changed it from the outside. John Lewis was a huge part of that.
He was an enormous figure.
Right.
I mean, as someone that literally went toe-to-toe with government and adhered to civil disobedience despite getting beaten.
And the reason that he's still a voice now is because he was in his early 20s at that period, you know, like Julian Bond.
Luckily, just, or else we wouldn't have a prominent figure, you know, on a daily basis in the national press that we can, you know, go to and keep that in our psyche as a society.
But when you say that Donald Trump is not a legitimate president, you're just wrong. Like, you're just, it does, just because you were an icon at one point and you still are an icon of that figure, it doesn't mean that every word that comes out of your mouth is true or valuable or...
Well, especially, I mean, what killed him was he lied.
Right.
Was he said, you know, he wouldn't be attending the inauguration, you know, sitting it out for the first time. It's not true. He set out Bush's.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, then everything, then the entire tide sort of switched. It went from, you know, negative press for Trump to then, you know, he became the target of the story. And now 65 legislators are scheduled to sit out as of today. Democratic legislators won't be attending the inauguration. And honestly, I thought Trump handled it as well as you could, as he said, good, because it's in so much demand. I hope they give us their tickets. We need seats. And I mean, if that's the way the coverage is going to be, you know, towards you, that's the only, that's the only way you can turn it into a win.
Yeah.
You know, anything else, you look like a white bigoted racist, any other type of response.
Yeah. The whole,
they went low, he went high.
Right. Yeah, which is not always the case.
Right. There. See, the thing about the performers is irritating me, too. I was at the gym watching CNN today, and they were talking about it, and they're talking about the performers, and I'm just sitting here going, okay, well, this reminds... So here's what you have to understand about journalists and politicians. If you go to your hometown and you talk to the journalists and you talk to the politicians, and if you go to Washington, D.C. and you talk to federal politicians and national journalists, they're all nerds. They're all nerds.
Oh, yeah.
They were never in the popular crowd. They got into nerd sports, which is politics. And so they just fawn over Hollywood, the popular people in our society like Beyonce and Bruce Springsteen and Bart. You know, it just... And so it's just like, I've never in my life heard, this happened with Bush. A lot of what you're hearing with Trump happened with Bush too. It's just, you know, it's...
Well, the illegitimate claim, you know, he lost the popular vote.
There absolutely.
Was you know, the Supreme Court authoring a ruling that was never allowed to be cited again in the history of the country in order to call the election and end the bickering over Florida is highly controversial still.
And I promise you, if you go back and look at Reagan, it happened then too.
Oh, Reagan was a radical.
Right.
I mean, people forget because that Republican Party became the establishment.
Yes.
But at the time, he was every bit the scary, dangerous radical.
Well, it wasn't until 94. I mean, until 94, Republicans hadn't held the House in 40 years. I mean, the Republican right really wasn't on the ascendancy until...
Conservatism was dead.
Yeah.
And no one knew what it stood for other than let's just slow things down a bit and think this through.
Right.
You know, it took a long time to refine its... what it stood for.
Still feel like we're kind of there. But
he's a new brand. He's at least nationalist.
Trump is just different. He's not a conservative. He's not a Democrat. He's certainly not a libertarian, but he picks pieces.
He's a nationalist.
But he picks pieces of all these little things and has broad appeal.
Yeah, everything, it has to be America first.
Right.
No matter what, every single time.
So I just look at the popularity contest of the performers and I go, really, who gives a shit? What people care about with the inauguration is the speech. They love the look, the view of all everybody on the dais and the speech, and that's it.
Yeah, that's
really
it.
How long do you think he's going to go?
I think he'll go 45 minutes.
Is he going to be 3 hours late?
No, he'll be on time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the New York Times, I was just looking through their schedule. First thing is a private family breakfast. Then there's a private prayer service at St. John's Episcopal Church, just a short walk from the Blair House where the breakfast is. Coffee date at the White House where they sit, Melania and President-elect Trump will sit down with Michelle and Barack Obama. Then it's they go to the swearing-in ceremony at 11:30.
Okay. Let's talk to our correspondent. I'm gonna try Tanner one more time. I've been chatting with him offline here.
Now he's got to swear in on Art of the Deal, right?
Tanner or Trump?
Both of them.
Yes.
Your call has been forwarded.
I don't think they're gonna let Tanner anywhere near.
He forgot what day it was.
Well, Tanner said that he's not able to pick up my call for whatever reason. So
that means he's being detained.
Yeah, tell him to call back.
Yeah. I wonder if I can try FaceTime on this thing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, he just told you he couldn't talk.
So, what are some other things that we can expect, Greg?
If you're expecting the type of speech and rhetoric that's going to be, you know, they're going to put on limestone and put a monument on, that's not that just isn't the case.
It would be etched in gold.
It'll be a lot like
limestone, gold.
Yeah, I think he's going to take the high road. He's going to talk almost entirely about unity and mm-hmm. restoration. I look for a lot of it to be, you know, talking back to what made us great, or yeah. how we were great in the past, and how he wants to represent every American and not, you know, just the supporters of his. I look for him to completely avoid any type of pettiness. The most awkward moment is going to be with Chief Justice Roberts, who will be swearing him in, because mm-hmm. he has called him a Benedict Arnold in turncoat when he, you know, for the Obamacare ruling. So when that's the person who's responsible for swearing you in, and you have, you know.
Well, but in fairness, Barack Obama had said bad things about Justice Roberts as well. So.
True. It's just he really crucified Alito. Alito, you know, even publicly chastised the Supreme Court at the the State of the Union.
Yeah,
he called them out and, you know, mocked them, but for the ruling on the McCain-Feingold, the campaign finance reform.
All right,
Citizens United.
I've got Tanner in the picture. Tanner, can you hear me? I don't know if he can hear. I can't hear him.
Trump had it. They had the re-flaring ceremony.
You have that thing
today.
Is it come through that?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I see him, but
check.
So, I don't think it'll be that eventful.
No, I mean, I would be shocked if he took this up. You know, this is very tradition. This is like almost like Catholic ritualism. You know, it's a bunch of pomp and circumstance because it's part of the American tradition, and that would be an odd time to make a statement.
Yeah.
Or try to be controversial and divisive.
I think in a lot of ways the thing with Trump is that he wants, as much as he's an outsider, there's always a part of him where he wants to fit in. You know,
his
what I
whole
mean?
Life's been desperately trying to fit in.
And so he's not going to sit there and cause some issue. This is not the time. He doesn't do that. He throws the quote unquote fits when
people attack him. Yeah, right. He's a counterpuncher.
Right.
And it won't be a day of criticism. I know there's been some criticism because he decided not to use the same announcer that's been doing it for, what, 50 years?
Yeah, the last, can't remember.
Which, what was that?
He was the official announcer for the, like, the inauguration. So he's the one that, introduces everybody.
You had Bruce Buffer.
Yeah. So, did he really?
No, I don't know.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
God, that'd be amazing.
Oh, my God. Or the Chicago Bulls announcer. And now, at 6'3".
Find that badass song. With an orange complexion.
Yes. Oh,
that'd be amazing.
Hell of a comb over.
But, I mean, he was... He followed everything today at the wreath ceremony, laying the wreath at Arlington National Cemetery, exactly as everyone else has. He's,
right.
You know, it isn't going to be controversial or, I think, disappointingly so. I know, everything he does, you're always kind of sit and wait for him to do something crazy. Harry's over there going woo-saw.
Are you okay, Harry?
Ted Western hit right in my funny bone with that joke with the... Because I always went was like a just because in my head I actually heard like Dick Fight. I was like, yeah, boom, baby, he's going.
Oh my Trump's God. Coming. He's a diaper dandy.
See, the thing with Tad Western is that
he's bad.
You never know when Tad is serious or joking. He's the gaslighter of comedy.
No, he's always joking.
Yeah, that is true.
Unless he's talking about policy.
Right.
You take these as jokes.
Because Tad prepares every time.
I'm 100% serious.
But the basketball reference
I'm serious about Syrians. Tadwestern.edu.
How is your college upstart going?
Well, it got seized by the government. Apparently, you can't just start a university on a podcast and get .edu
But you have
domain.
A Facebook page.
I do.
I figured demand would be huge.
I don't even check it. I'm just handing out diplomas. People Facebook message me. Here you go. I just sign
off. Did Aaron enroll?
No.
You didn't even support your own cousin?
My cousin's an asshole to me.
That is true. I'm not trying to.
Listen, we're a
performance
college.
Based university, and you didn't put in the work. I hate to break it to you right here, but.
Just start a rival women's college.
Yeah, there you go.
A rifle? Like,
rival.
Like air women's like
rival.
Rifles? Like pistols?
No, rival.
Okay. Air rifles, by the way, air rifles are cheap.
Air rifles?
I was looking at some of those at Walmart because I'm going to kill me some Canadian geese this spring.
Oh, is that? Oh. That's actually a good idea.
So, now it's premeditated.
So you're not a nationalist. You're not against killing your own.
Oh, no.
Oh. Yes. That was extremely well played and subtle. You didn't even catch it at first. At first, you were thinking, oh, I am nationalistic.
That's your
I'm
national
killing geese.
Bird. That's like an eagle. You can't kill a goose. More, I was thinking along the lines of, I just admitted to a federal crime on a podcast.
You did last week when you went to the Indianapolis Zoo in high school, and I didn't get a go because your class killed turtles and threw poop at monkeys.
That wasn't a federal crime, and no charges were pressed against us.
You still got like half a day for Obama to pardon.
It's a federal crime to kill a Canadian goose.
Does anybody have Obama's number?
You need a pardon?
Harry?
I can, but I can't give it to you.
No, it
blacks only.
I'm down, bro.
Yeah, no. You made him black one episode.
Drew Thompson's 3% black, but no, you're not black enough. You gotta get it to 3%.
5% gay, 0.5% black.
I might listen. On I found out at Christmas that on my grandma's side. Going back to the Appalachian Mountains, I am descended from slaves.
Irish slaves?
Like potato slaves?
No, yeah. like Southern slaves.
Mix.
And on my grandfather's side...
That was very progressive for the time.
Yeah, and on my grandfather's side, I am descended from slave owners.
Wow. So you're conflicted.
Is that how they met?
So they let you in the house.
How exactly do you interpret John Lewis...
I both despise and love him.
Yeah, to say that's rather makes it problematic.
He's at odds.
So I'm also related to William the Conqueror.
Nice.
So
the old Bill,
the Conqueror,
prima nocta,
old Wild Bill.
I bet old Bill would love Ted Western. Yeah. You guys would ride and have some fun times together.
The other thing surrounding the inauguration is the attempted terrorist attack.
You think that with Disrupt 20?
Fake news.
Is that what you wanted to? Oh, you wanted to talk Project Veritas and James O'Keefe.
Okay.
Is that what?
Yes, I want to talk about that. But
he's ready.
Tanner has made a Skype name quickly here, and the Skype name is LowTNC.
He's a great little correspondent, isn't he?
Listen, he gets it. No answer. Son of a bitch.
He didn't put 420 at the end?
No, I kind of... Tanner strikes me as the kind of guy that if I were to look at his MySpace profile, he'd have a marijuana... that would be the skin.
It would just be all like the chrome.
Glittery 420 references.
Automatic Bob Marley song.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, precisely.
Bob Marley.
He'd have a link to patchouli oil.
I'd hate to see my MySpace. I haven't opened it for years.
Do you have a MySpace?
Man. Yeah, I do.
I still do.
Are they? Oh, yeah, they're still operational.
I think so. Didn't Justin Timberlake buy MySpace?
I think I logged into it last in like 2007.
No, Justin Timberlake, it was Sean Parker. I think he had something to do with MySpace and he bought it
No, Justin Timberlake.
Rupert Murdoch bought it for $580 million and then they sold it to Timberlake for like $3 million.
Something like that. But I think Sean Parker was in there with him, but they tried to turn it into a music site.
Yeah, it's a platform
bands.
For bands. That's what it is.
Tanner, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Hey, all right, there we go. Tanner, it worked.
Finally, right?
Finally.
Blaze it, spark it up, homie.
So now, Tanner, how much weed are you on at the moment?
Only about 2 pounds.
Did you transport it across state lines?
Not yet.
Did you inject it anally?
Every time.
every time. Now, Tanner, you are going to be our correspondent. I'm going to turn this down just a little bit because we got too much of an echo, and I'm going to try and turn you up. We're doing live producing here on the show. This is very exciting. It's like live radio here on the broadcast. This historic broadcast. Better turn that down. What is going on over there?
We're on MySpace.
I was going to say, you guys have been shitposting over there for a while.
Yeah. So Tanner. Yeah. Have you left for Washington, D.C. yet?
No. Actually, right now, I'm just doing a couple final things before that.
So, what are you doing?
Packing my bags.
What does a 20-year-old pothead take to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration?
Alleged
pothead.
I don't think I'm going to say that on the air.
do you remember to pack your underpants?
Oh, I'm glad you reminded me, actually.
Now, Tanner, you are a libertarian, correct?
Yes.
Now, how did you get involved in the Libertarian Party?
Actually, a couple years ago, Brad Owens was running for District 54.
Owens.
And I went to school with his son, Brock.
Uh-huh.
And I got to know Brock really well, and I heard Brad's campaign. I really liked what he had to say.
Okay, so what is the issue that you are most excited about when it comes to libertarianism?
There's a lot of them. What initially got me into the whole concept was the war on drugs and how that affects people, but also...
You don't say.
But just the whole thing of private versus public and everything, because I grew up with my dad, who's a public school teacher, and my whole life he was kind of just telling me about how public was the way to go with education and everything else. And I didn't really hear the other argument until I got a little bit older.
Wouldn't support new secretary, the nominee for Trump's education cabinet, Betsy DeVoe?
My dad, did you ask if I supported her?
No, your dad would hate her, wouldn't he?
Yeah, my dad, he used to be a Republican. He voted Republican in, I think, 2000 and 2004. And then... ever since then, he became a Democrat.
So you're a libertarian. You've worked on some campaigns. I've seen you at several events, but I don't think we've really talked in any extensive way. But you're young. You're excited. You're a hard worker for liberty. What do you do with the rest of your time when you're not being libertarian and smoking pot?
Well, I kind of take the libertarianism everywhere I go.
That's a good answer.
A brand ambassador.
really, it's just it definitely taught me how to act in every other aspect of life. It makes me see things a little bit differently, but as far as what else I do, I think I may have just lost you guys again.
No, we're just listening. We're patiently listening.
The other things I do, I mean, I work, I go to school still. And I just live life, you know.
10th grade?
I look like it, but I'm actually a sophomore in college.
Excellent. What's your major?
Political science.
All right. Okay. Now, so when you say that it informs you on how to act in other areas of your life, expand on that. What do you mean?
I mean, I don't know. I guess it just kind of taught me how to tolerate a lot more. And see how things work a little bit better than if I wasn't exposed to.
I identify that because when I became a libertarian, I became much more accepting of people. Not just other lifestyles, but just people in general. Because once you become a libertarian, you start to see the humanity in yourself and society and others, and it really expands your mind a little bit.
Yeah, that's very true.
I wish that the other four people in the room would pay attention to what is happening in here.
They're
and
on
not,
MySpace profiles. They're going in. Harry, put the MySpace profiles away.
Stop shit posting and start podcasting.
We can do this later.
We have
we're tadcasting right hey, now. Damn we are.
It. Tanner, Tanner's a veteran to getting interviewed. I once saw him on television.
Yeah, he was on the RTV. He at Channel the Gary 13. Johnson. Yeah, Channel 13 at the Gary Johnson rally. He was the spokesman for the Libertarian Party of Indiana.
That's right. Tanner,
he's This is very, you know, easy for him.
You this is going to be a piece of cake. So now what? Now we have asked you to go out and be our correspondent, and I have given you what instructions?
Just to be myself.
That's right. That's all I want. I don't want you to go out there and be try and be a reporter. I just want you to go out there and observe and take some photos and talk to some people. Do you have any plans on what you're going to do once you get out there for us?
I mean, I really don't know what to expect, so I'm just going to go out there and, I mean, I've kind of tried to think of what to expect, but there's just so many different ways it could turn out. So I don't really know exactly what I'm going to do. I guess I'll just play it by ear.
Now, see, listen, they're on my MySpace profile. I saw the photos. Now, see, Greg, this is exactly how the media is supposed to work. This is why We Are Libertarians is the greatest media outlet on the face of the planet.
We're no BuzzFeed. We're no crumbling pile of garbage.
We don't send people with agendas to events to then format the reporting to fill in the blanks.
Exactly.
We send people who are completely blank slates.
Exactly.
They believe what we believe, but they also have...
They have free range to report the facts.
Tanner, you're going to go out there and you're going to tell us the truth, aren't you?
100%.
You're a truth teller.
Have you ever lied?
Never in my life.
Has Jeremiah moral?
Yes, he has no morals.
Most of the things he says are false.
That's right, Lion Jer.
Now, Tanner, you're not too much of a pothead, are you?
No.
Okay,
no.
So like, you're not going to sleep through the inauguration?
I hope not. I'm going to try to stay awake through the whole thing.
He sounds alert, and I mean, he's not the persona that precedes him is not exactly the same.
So he sounds spry.
You've never met him.
I've met Tanner. Tanner, have we met?
Yes, I was at the wall pool party.
Okay, was I nice to you?
Yeah.
Did I speak to you?
A little bit.
Well, you weren't a woman in a bikini, so that it's unlikely that you would have spoken to anyone.
I mean,
that.
There were some girls that were very... Describe the women that were at the pool party.
If you want me to be completely honest...
No, do not.
Bro, that's all we're asking here. We want truth.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I don't even remember who was there, really.
That blonde chick had a fat ass.
See, I was out in the garage talking to Seth and Jesse most of the time.
Oh, no.
You to Mexico?
Beef dip bear week?
Tanner. Yeah. Tanner, are you a homosexual?
Painted windows and all kinds of stuff.
Tanner, do you like men or women? It's not an issue for us.
Well, see, I don't have a problem with gay people, but I identify as a straight white man.
Okay, all right. So we're sending,
check your privilege, Tanner.
We're sending you to a straight white man ground zero here. Now, I remember possibly seeing a kid that looked like you out of the corner of my eye and wondering if that was Tanner, but I don't think I actually made the initiative to say hi or do anything with the information that hit my brain.
Right. See, I came inside and we started talking about all kinds of stuff. Tad Western was there. We were talking about Africa and how we because the Olympics were on, and we were talking about how.
Is this starting to refresh your memory, Chris?
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. Now, Tanner.
Oh, no wonder you don't remember.
So, Tanner, you were there, and my friend Michelle came with me. Beautiful woman. She is a social worker, and she is as left. She yelled at me yesterday for using Fresh Step cat litter because her natural cat litter, which doesn't collect the scents as well, won't stay in the landfill for all of eternity. So she's a flaming liberal, and she got a big load of Tad Western that night, didn't she, Tanner? What do you remember? What was said?
Oh, I remember they got into it over something.
Oh, I remember.
I don't remember what it was, but it was pretty epic.
It was pretty epic.
Tad. So we were watching the Olympics, and Tad just exclaimed at one of the African runners, "I don't know why those people live in Africa, because it's a shithole there." And she, unbeknownst to Tad Western, has two adopted African brothers,
which proved my point.
And And so it's an issue near and dear to her heart, and they got into it, and Tad just got angry, and Michelle is the most calm person ever. And she, at one point, yelled, "I'm going to punch you in the fucking face, you asshole."
Yes. Yes, I do remember that, actually.
Tad Western, the old shit poster.
And I said, "I got an iron jaw, baby. Bring it."
Oh, so
was that the night I killed his fish?
No.
No, that was the Christmas party.
The Christmas party.
Oh.
4:30 in the morning. Here, fishy, give me smooches. Month later, Jeremiah Morrill has two fish dead.
2 days ago, one of his fish died because Tad Western decided to go...
give him syphilis.
Just wanted to pet the fish. Now, Tanner, did you know... Now, are you going to the inauguration, or were you just going to smoke weed in Washington, D.C. because it's legal there and the inauguration just happened to happen at the same time?
Well, the laws haven't really ever stopped me before.
like a good libertarian.
It's going to be a plus not to go to jail. But, yeah, it's definitely not something that I just went there for. But it is a plus.
Now, do you have... maybe you don't have to answer this, but do you have a criminal record?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, good. All right, I'm support it. It's fine.
Good. Nonviolent.
Nonviolent offenses?
Yes, not nonviolent.
All right. Okay. All right. So then we can do this. All right. I want you to go out there, and I want you we'll do some Facebook Lives tomorrow. You can post some Instagram photos. Do whatever you feel is necessary to inform the people of Weird Libertarians about the inauguration. Okay.
All right.
Is there anything that you'd like to say to the audience before we let you go?
Smoke weed every day, guys.
All right.
Yeah. Chronic 2001.
Yeah. Now, question. What do you think about Donald Trump?
Honestly, I'm not a big fan of him, but I think he's a lot better than...
Oh, shit.
Droned.
The connection just died, right?
Did he just get Snowdened?
I think he was about to say something about somebody, and then all of a sudden the line disconnected.
Yeah,
so.
He had information leading to Hillary Clinton's arrest.
That was really odd. I heard. So that was. So
I hope he wasn't at Comet Pong Pizza.
So
Ping Pong Pizza.
So that is Tanner. Tanner will be filing reports on the inauguration. I think it is hilarious. I don't know what we're going to get.
He's going to do a good
job. The idea,
he is going to do a good job.
but see, that's the thing. Like he's so excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a 20-year-old kid who loves this show. And like to get to do this, he's so excited about it. And it's so cute.
To get to not be remembered by Chris Spangle at a pool party was the pinnacle of his entire year.
Well, I was hoping he was going to throw me under the bus and say, "No, you didn't talk to me. You're an asshole." but he's too nice. But he's a very nice kid. And I just think it is hilarious. Writing the status, I was cackling like a little girl. We've hired our own correspondent. He's a 20-year-old pothead from Henry County, yep. Indiana, and he's going to be our reporter. And our Instagram audience doesn't know the show as well as like other platforms, and they were all outraged. They were just like, "This is why libertarians have a bad name. This is just, you guys are ruining the libertarian message." It's boring people hate us, Greg.
They do. That is our tagline. We are libertarians. Boring
Haters
people hate us.
Hate.
So you listen. You're going to tune into the television tomorrow, and you're going to see all the inner workings on CNN or Fox News or whatever. But you're not going to get a feel of what it's like out in the crowd to be one of the regular people,
right?
And Tanner is hopefully going to give that. Hopefully he does a good job, but I know he will because he's. He's excited about it.
Yeah, he's going to do a really good job.
So check it out. If you're hearing this after the inauguration, you can go back, and then I'll make a post on the website with all of Tanner's work, and you
can
see the complete coverage.
Maybe he would like to have shared this with his parents, and that's probably going to be difficult at this point now.
I think they kind of understand what Tanner's up to in his free time. I'm guessing if he's got that criminal record, they probably know.
He's a civil disobedience libertarian.
Did you hear his laugh?
God, I love it.
There's some Beavis and Butthead in it.
There's a little bit of a...
yeah. I listened to a lot of Loveline growing up, and Dr. Drew would always comment on that. You smoke a little weed, bud?
Yeah, you can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you have sparkles on your eyelids?
You do. You have glitter.
Well, From what?
Do you have glitter on your face?
You got all defensive.
It was a long lunch, huh?
You have sparkles on me?
Turn it this way. Let me see.
A little glitter.
You bet the spearmint rhino?
Bro, damn. you, yeah.
I've been in a crawl space all
Are
day.
Are you bedazzled?
I didn't even shower.
No.
Who's crawl space?
Did you borrow some woman's, like facial face lotion that might have had sparkles in it? Okay.
It's probably the... I had some metal in my eye. I was cutting.
That's what it is. Then
flakes
yeah.
of metal.
I was cutting.
Oh, that's
nails.
What it is.
I was
cutting
nails with a sawzall.
Yeah, you have
and
flakes.
I had a hot piece of metal.
It's, it's your eye shadow. Is what it is.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. from over here, every time you close your eyes,
it's freaking me out.
It's like looking at the alcohol Goldschlager. It's got like floating flakes of gold.
I came straight here from Ohio. I went and changed some sill plate.
Aren't you glad?
Oh, I'm so excited to be here and hear you guys defame me.
I know. All this way to get shit posted in real life.
Aaron was outraged at the end of the last episode, weren't you?
Oh, I was livid. I listened to it in like four sections. So like last night I'm listening to the final 20 minutes. I forgot to listen to the rest of Wall. And all of a sudden I get called out for having the lowest T out of our friend circle.
Well, you don't have any hair. You don't have any hair on your
body.
That's
DHT.
What does that mean?
I have it's a genetic type.
Isn't that what they spray on to kill the mosquitoes?
That's the type of testosterone that causes hair growth.
I just think that anybody who doesn't have hair on their chest naturally has low T.
Well, I must have more Cherokee blood than Greg Lenz.
No way. I outred you any day. I'll scalp someone right now in a contest.
But Tyler has the same genetics, and he's got a full 5 o'clock
shit genetics. See, no, Tyler's like Richard Nixon. I mean, he shaves in the morning, and he's got a 5 o'clock shadow by 2 p.m.
No, I can grow a beard in like 2 days.
Yeah. Why don't you?
I did. I shaved. Nobody saw me over Christmas break because I was sicker than shit laying on my couch. Matt's at our Christmas family party. I had a pretty good honker.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice. You should.
Yeah. His mom loved it.
She's like, oh, let me pet your beard. I said, Mom, get the hell out of here.
You have
I'm Chad Western. I need to drink my moonshine and scold some kids.
Get out of here, Mama Western.
The only affection from a woman that I will take is a prostitute down at the saloon.
So you
beards aren't everything.
Over a glass of sarsaparilla.
So you were so pissed off that you did what?
I got on Amazon this morning and did a little research, and I bought the best testosterone painless, because last night we discussed maybe we ought to do a little tee off duel between you and I.
Yeah.
And you expressed a little bit of.
I'm not getting stuck with any needles.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I've passed out before getting my blood drawn.
Me too.
I just don't like the feeling of blood leaving my body. I can look at needles. I can look at blood.
The last time I had blood drawn was 2013, and I passed out, and I vagaled. If you're in the medical field, it's when your vagus nerve gets compressed, and then you pass out, and your blood pressure drops, and then and I just projectile vomited all over the nurse, my ex-wife, the apartment, mittens, everywhere.
Oh, that's Becky and I had to go get some blood
drawn.
It is
a sign of low T.
For fertility work when we were trying to figure out all the miscarriages, and she told the large black nurse, hey, my husband doesn't like getting blood drawn, so... You might want to be careful when you take it out.
She say, oh, baby.
Oh, he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine, sweetie.
She sticks the needle in my forearm, and she watches me for about 10 seconds. And she's like, oh, you're fine. And this is a large bag of blood that had to be filled.
Ugh.
So I feel this bag, this cold sensation of this bag, and filling with my own blood. Ugh. And she walks. I'll be right back, honey. Walks away.
Right.
I wake up face forward with... on the floor, I fell out of the chair, and this large black nurse is got me in a full Nelson trying to get me up off the floor. So, but anyhow, we both do not like needles, so I found a painless saliva test, and you know, I'm hoping you buy the same one and we can compare results in the next episode.
I just think it's important that we all take the same test.
Let's do it. You know, last time Tad Western drew blood?
When?
When it shoot off.
Yep.
All right, so the inauguration almost was spoiled by a terrorist attack, but it's not getting any coverage, and I don't know why, because it's pretty scary stuff. Project I think I can tell you because, yeah, the news thinks it's fake news. And so Project Veritas, which is this kid, what's his name? James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe. He's the one who shut down Acorn, where he and another girl, like, very clearly dressed up like a pimp and a prostitute. Hannah Giles.
Yeah, they made their bones with Planned Parenthood and Acorn trying to get all of the funding removed.
Mm-hmm. And so you can go and look up Wikipedia on Project Veritas, but it's a sort of a guerrilla video undercover sting operation group, and they produce these videos, and they infiltrated this group where they infiltrated this group called Disrupt J20. And the whole point was to disrupt the inauguration of Donald Trump. And they were going to set off bombs or put into the press club in Washington, D.C., a gas that is, it's bucolic acid.
Yeah.
And so bucolic acid is what makes your puke smell. And so, and it would make people sick, and it'd smell horrible, and people would pass out, and they wanted to create a stampede, and they were going to do, there was one other thing that they were going to do at the press club to create chaos.
They were trying to block all the entrances and exits.
And they were trying to block off entrances and exits.
Yeah, to prevent anyone to attend and delay an actual inauguration.
Yeah, delay the trains and everything, and so... The Project Veritas infiltrated, got video of this, and it's not being reported anywhere. No, they turned over everything to the FBI. The FBI didn't really do anything with it.
They don't take Disrupt J20. It's sort of the grassroots disrupt protest group. Don't take them seriously.
I've not heard of this group before.
Oh, it's been brewing for a while. It popped up the same day he won, and it's. It's AstroTurf backing by Soros and then through a bunch of political action committees trying to organize some of the the more acceptable parts of the Occupy crowd,
right.
The more credible parts, and then also a lot of female organizations.
Okay.
And like a lot of the Democratic female organizations to create as much of to oppose basically anything Trump tries to do that they even think is remotely unconstitutional.
Okay. So they infiltrated this group and they got pretty damning evidence that they were planning this, whether or not they could or could not pull it off. That's more of a question for authorities, but the media doesn't seem to be picking this up. And what happens in all these cases is any times that James O'Keefe is interviewed by any sort of quote-unquote, basically any establishment media, they start questioning him about his past. He basically set up some sting operations in Senator Mary Landrieu's office.
He actually got into the phone lines.
Right.
Like he went in as basically an IT consultant under the auspices of being an IT consultant or, I think that's what it was, or an employee of their internet provider.
Okay.
And then tapped into their network so he would be able to monitor communications in and out of that office.
And he was charged
freaking
with
awesome.
Yeah, he was charged with wiretapping, and I think he's a felon, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because that is
a felony. I mean, that's the thing is discrediting him is like discrediting John Lewis for being a criminal.
Sure.
Like that's or Martin Luther King.
Right.
What he was trying to do was expose corruption. Or I guess it's not a victimless crime technically, but neither was civil disobedience.
Sure. The only victims were the victims of the government.
There was it was still a criminal act, perpetrated against the people doing the civil disobedience.
Yeah, and so that just gets thrown back in its face. They don't actually take the evidence on its face, and it's just maddening.
So the Democratic Party and all their little operatives just get social engineered by this little guy, and they still don't beef up anything.
Well, I think it's so spread. There's so many different organizations that it's impossible to know where some little guerrilla group is going to go next. Like, if We Are Libertarians had been able to find out, for instance, if we'd been able to find somebody who had the guts here locally to call the phone numbers. So during the campaign, before the primary, we had phone numbers of some of these groups.
Mm-hmm.
And they were basically NBC News paid groups that were designed to disrupt Trump organization, Trump rallies. So all those Trump rallies, it wasn't just Black Lives Matter people. It was, people on both sides. It was just to create chaos, to create news. But we couldn't find anybody who was willing to actually go through it. And I would have been found out because people locally know who I am in the media structure. But that's an instance where you would... nobody would be able to see you coming. The Soros certainly couldn't put it together. And Project Veritas, because of this experience where he has credible evidence of a terrorist attack and he's not being taken seriously, is now planning to start going after the media and setting up the media and finding out those stories like we just talked about. Hmm. So, yeah, it's hard to pin down some sort of guerrilla activist group. So in
it's nearly impossible. That's why this was so important. You know, they were able to get there with an undercover camera and talk to Luke Cohn, who's the organizer, and sit right there and get all of their plans on tape and get them to talk about using the butyric acid to create a quote-unquote deplorable.
Right.
Which would disrupt the entire inauguration.
And so Luke Cohn, Luke Cohn. I don't know. Is it Kuhn?
K-U-H-N.
Kuhn.
All right. Well, I'm triggered.
I'll click the copayment after the podcast.
The racism insurance is due now after I used it all up.
Seth wanted me to tell you your gay insurance is also, you know, due at the end of the month. Too.
Damn. Care. I need to have Seth on. I miss him. Seth, hit me up, bro.
Not in the Old Testament way.
No, not biblically. I don't want to be a pillar of salt. But if I were, I'd be a rock hard pillar of salt. You know what I'm saying? Okay, stop with the meme.
Really in life.
Aaron just went in real life meme.
Oh. IRL meme.
He just sexy salted me.
That is the greatest new meme of our era.
I watched the video and it creeped me out too much.
Oh my, it was fantastic.
The actual video salty? Of the Turkish chef who does the sexy salt video, like it must be on like Instagram or Snapchat where the videos are Vine. Taken from. He's too sexy for me. It threatens my
masculinity.
It threatens my masculinity. I can't be that sexy.
Last year we had the old tan guy salsa dancer.
Yes.
Now we got the salt guy.
Yeah.
The salt is iconic meme. It's perfect for. I mean, I've seen the variation of Bill Cosby when it says, you know, I don't have sex on the first date, and then someone photoshopped in some roofies.
I've seen Trump and
in the wall.
In the wall, yeah.
Some George Bush and the.
And then the towers, the planes, yeah. And lots of great variations. But
one of Aaron Rodgers with like all the Dallas Cowboys faces coming off of it.
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
So Luke Cohn is apparently...
He's a community organizer for intents and purposes.
But you've got some stuff in the prep that I didn't know. He seems like a bit of a pervert, allegedly.
Well, I don't know how much people have been, you know... To me, I know the background around Pizzagate.
Right.
That isn't something that is, you know, a lot of people do really have the proper context of. You know, they see it as more salacious, false, fake news.
Right.
But the actual thing that started all of it is the restaurant Comet Pong Pizza,
mm-hmm.
owned
mm-hmm.
by James
Oliphantis.
Yeah. And so that's where the organizers decided to have this.
Right.
That's where they met. And so... O'Keefe goes there, records the video. They talk about all their plans. He exposes it. And then it comes up that someone starts doing some digging on Luke Cohn. And it comes up that he has a public or a what would you say?
A paper trail.
Yeah, he has a paper trail.
Digital trail of...
Right. And Mike Cernovich is a guy that's sort of been very vocal in the Pizzagate community and someone that has a little bit of a following online anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a message that is an email and it says, subject matter, Luke Cohn on teenage sex and the UAP. And so it is from someone writing him to let him know that he has found him on websites talking about pedophilia. And so... It started getting researched and more got vetted out by
as 4chan is wont to do.
Yeah, they started digging and they found that he had written a post posted by Luke Cohn, Utopian Anarchist Party USA, September 22nd, 1997. He writes this on a forum. If we want to reduce the popularity of McMaggots among elementary school age children, 11 and younger, and totally blunt the clown ads, I would suggest a campaign that would portray the clown as a leering child rapist hanging onto the fence outside every playground, school, etc. After all, a burger loaded with a coli or mad cow disease will do far more damage than some seedy sexual encounter in the woods behind school could ever dream of. In fact, in the case of mad cow disease, all but the most brutal of rapists would do less damage. This also ties into the fact that McDonald's is a corporate rapist of the earth, especially in Latin America with the rainforest beef connection and of the economy. So why not portray the clown as a rapist? Since the clown's job is to attract children, therefore he is a child rapist! Exclamation point. I originally thought this would be the way to neutralize Joe Camel, a leering, stinking camel in a raincoat at the elementary school, but I think it would work far better on Ronald McDonald than on Joe Camel. The context of this was Oprah had made a big stir about beef, and it became McDonald's got into it with where the beef was coming from.
It's how she met Dr. Phil, because she was sued by the beef growers.
Right, and so then this guy's background is in these third party, these AstroTurf type movements with community organizers where they try to control the branding and messaging and portray their they create boycotts. Is basically, mm-hmm. It's boycott for profit. They get paid by George Soros through political donations, and then they go out and get miscontents and then try to create a stir. And so he has also, his other one was on a boy chat forum.
Oh boy.
That's
what he said.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He said, "Yes, I support the right of young people to choose to be sexually active if they desire. As I stated in my original post on the subject, I started having sex by my own choice when I was 12. My partner was 15 or 16. He asked first, but I kept going back for more and never regretted it. I was the young partner. Hauk says 13 years old should only go with other 13-year-olds, but the fact is that for many young people, approaching a classmate is far more dangerous than asking someone outside a gay bar, and suppose another 13-year-old isn't available." So, yeah. It's pretty... And it's not like he is perpetrating Pizzagate by any means, but to be to have a public post where you flat out say that if you're 13, or in that age range, if you're going to be having sex anyway as a gay male, you might as well go and find another 13-year-old instead of going and hanging out waiting for some drunk to leave the gay bar.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is the guy who's organizing Disrupt J20. This is the guy who, is a known confidant of James Olifantis, the owner. Olifantis, the owner of Comic Pong Pizza, is the former lover of David Bach, who runs Media Matters.
Yeah.
And they're how this whole war on fake news got started, because he organized, he got the, even Comic Pong Pizza has received a $50,000 donation from George Soros, which is weird for a pizza place to receive a donation from a private investment. But it wasn't an investment, it was a donation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and then Comic Pong Pizza has made donations to political action committees, and they were Olifantis was CC'd in on a bunch of the WikiLeaks emails.
Yeah, there's a lot of ties within the WikiLeaks emails.
And these guys they all run in the same networks. They all run in the same circles. They just wait to get called and moved up. This guy is basically what John Podesta would have been in like 1975. He's just biding his time until he gets the nod.
Right.
So that kind of explains why the only media source that reported on it is
Zero Hedge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they take risks that other ones can't afford to, because their advertisers are already fringe anyway.
Yeah,
right.
And, well, the Daily Kos reported on it, trying to say that this is all
Yeah, and they tried to discredit it, and it wasn't that it was fake news. They said it wasn't valid because O'Keefe was a criminal.
Right. In the article, the headline is all about oh, this is fake. But if you read the article,
their criticism is that they tried to use money to buy sources, and that's a common practice. That's what happened with McCarthy.
Yeah,
Was it the New York Post back in the 50s where there was the cooking editor falsely claimed and was feeding information back in the 50s that he had knowledge that someone in high end government was a Communist Party member and was hiding it, somebody at the magazine turned out to be fictional, and he had been using that as. He charged people money to get that information from journalists, and they ended up running with it.
Well,
these controversies have happened from time to time.
Sure, the New York, the National Enquirer. There's a great documentary on the National Enquirer on Netflix on the start of it, how it grew. It's really interesting. But in it, they talk about paying journalists and how paying sources essentially, but paid informants in any other industry are fairly normal,
because you're getting compensated in any other in another fashion, like
right.
through a plea agreement, through getting to write a tell-all expose.
Sure.
Like you are getting compensated It's just a matter of what's the currency.
But the thing is, in journalism, they think that it might be tainted information. People will make things up just to make a buck. And that certainly could happen.
Right. You still have to have two original sources.
Exactly.
Right. And so for so many things, you can't ever get that second source. You know, you can get it from one person, and then that's like what we had with BuzzFeed. And mm-hmm. they went ahead and published the dossier that was fake.
Yes.
You know. But this is really, this is a shocking level of planning and coordination with credible people, with credible ties to the highest level, you know, to the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Yep. There's
a lot of coincidences.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's shocking that they are looking at using a, you know, butyric acid bomb in order to stop or delay the inauguration, something that would inevitably happen. You know, it's not like it's not. You know, unless, you know, what's funny though is someone, other news outlet, credible news outlet, ran a news piece today about how should a terrorist type event CNN. Happen? Yeah, CNN. They ran an article. If should something happen, it would be someone in the Obama administration that would take the office of the presidency in such an event.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is an odd thing to write about.
Sure is.
Especially when you're fake news. As labeled by Donald Trump.
Well, it is, and this is what Alex Jones has been harping on, something called continuance of government, COG, that their plan is to take Trump out. You know, you got to get him in there because, and you got to get him in there safely because if he gets assassinated before the oath of office, then it's continuance of government. Or if they can try and throw this to
House Representatives,
delegitimize him and then delay it so, you know, the Obama administration is still in charge for a certain amount of time while they get this quote-unquote all sorted out. So that is your conspiracy update.
You know what's funny is there was a colleague of Albert Einstein in the same physics department at Princeton who actually had found and discovered the way to have tyranny in the United States where you wouldn't have to have any more elections. Through a logical flaw in the Constitution, and it had it vetted and then died before he reported it and put it out in a news article or sent it to constitutional attorneys. And so everyone's always speculated around. I forget what his name is, but he actually had found a way in the Constitution through a flaw in the logic of it that would allow for the end of elections and the end of democracy.
Right.
Or just for presidential elections. Mm. It would be permanent presidency. But, yeah, I mean, none of this is likely to happen, obviously. Like, we're not going to see a third world type coup tomorrow.
I got my fingers crossed.
The whole last episode was about how we have. So
you think we're going to see that tomorrow? I don't.
No. I think it'll go off without a hitch.
I do. And I don't think now that this is out there a little bit, you know, I'm glad O'Keefe did this in Project Veritas. You know, I don't. Yes, he has an agenda, but it's the same agenda on the, you know, that most of the press has on the alternative side. They just aren't quite as ballsy or as hated.
Right.
You know, but yeah, he goes in under the false pretenses and then exposes it. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times information is able to be retrieved by breaking into places. You know, like Nixon with Watergate, that type of thing happens a fair amount in journalism to really crack the big stories.
All right, well, let's wrap up this episode. We'll do another episode here on Obama's legacy, so that way people can skip right to that. But so tune into the next episode, which we'll record right after this one, on Obama's legacy. You know, I'll save mine for the last. Let's go around the table. Let's start with good old Tad Western as everybody else is eating during the radio show.
You guys are rude.
You guys are terrible. Let's start with Tad Western. Tad, your final thoughts for the inauguration?
I think it's just the media trying to come up with a story. I don't think anything's going to go happen. I think it's just they're looking for a story. It's going to go off without a hitch.
It'll be your standard day.
Yeah, it's not. It's going to be pretty uneventful, I think. Other than that,
Harry looks like he's sucking on a titty right now. He's got a Camelback water bottle, and he looks like he is a baby with a bottle at the moment.
That's cute. Has that got a filter in it, too?
Yeah,
it's got. Did you buy that from Alex Jones? I'm just a humble water filter salesman. anyway, check out the Tadcast. It'll be coming out.
Tad Talks.
Tad Talks
on the Libertarian Network.
You can hear me yelling at my dog in the first episode. And follow me on Twitter, Tad F and Western.
It is a comedy specific podcast, is it?
Well,
not?
It's I talk about all walks of life, anything.
It's I'm gonna label it personal journals.
Yeah, right now it's pretty much just my thoughts into a microphone.
Society and culture, personal journals.
We go from anywhere from dog shit to the Colts to I just bounce around.
How's that different?
It's not. I bring it all in together. And wrap it up nicely.
Circle of life.
And yeah, a nice little tad bow.
Yeah, you get Tad's tip on this, the first episode.
Tad's tip.
life hacks with Uncle Tad.
Yeah, I've got so many segments queued up, and I've got a lot of the work I did yesterday was in the production aspect of my podcast. I wanted to have a banging ass intro.
A lot of production value.
Yeah.
Has he always been this funny?
Oh, yeah. Like, Tad, Tyler, as we like to call him at the old homestead. yeah, you get him together with his dad and my Uncle Matt and Jared and my brother Jeremiah, and we're all in the same room together. It's hysterical.
Yeah, I'm not even probably the funniest. I think his brother's probably one of the funniest sons of
bitches. Jeremiah is pretty funny.
Yeah, he's
what
hilarious.
What he says.
He's just a real life Kenny Powers.
He's the real life Kenny Powers.
He is. And he doesn't even try.
I watched him ninja kick a freshly painted bush across the
Burger King. Yeah, we went to Burger King in Florence, Kentucky. He was working. He was in between jobs and was working on a crawl space with my brother and I. Old Tad was. And we had a good time. We actually found his little kitten, his Kentucky Wildcat down there. But Jeremiah ordered whatever he ordered, and they messed it up. He was not happy.
Well, it didn't look anything like the pictures, what really pissed him off.
Yeah. Nothing like the brochure.
Right.
He was expecting much better than this. And the manager's following him outside because I guess they got into it in the restaurant, and he was asked to leave.
He threw it across the counter, Adam said.
So he threw the Whopper back across the counter. He goes outside. He's escorted out.
No, this was breakfast. This was a breakfast sandwich.
Was it breakfast?
It was like 6:59 in the morning.
Yeah, so they have like a mum planted.
They had just freshly re-landscaped. Like
brand new landscaping. Jeremiah's got his work boots on, and he walks out there, and they're yelling at him. They got the door open, yelling at him, telling him to leave. He's yelling back at him, and then as he's walking away, he just like Pat McAfee's these mums across the parking lot. There's
the
dirt
roots
and mulch.
And everything come up. The entire mall, they just been planted.
The manager chases him back.
It's across the drive-through lane, so there's like cars stopping and shit.
Yeah. Needless to say, that's just one.
That's one
small,
story.
Oh, just one small.
That was one small story during that entire 3-day trip.
Like 30 seconds later, we almost died.
Yeah.
Because we're leaving the parking
lot. And
he's
hanging out of the window with a shovel trying to.
No, this was an epic trip. But anyhow, we can't get into all the details.
Anyway, yeah.
On Tad Talks.
Yeah, Tad Talks, we'll get into all that. If you want to hear the end of the story, yeah. it's probably a 45-minute long story.
Oh,
folks.
And Tad will be, I will be hooking up a phone line for call-in. talk to my fans, and not even to talk, but just to work to help you people through your problems you're going through in life or anything else you want to talk about.
Oh my God.
I will be giving advice.
Oh my God.
Free advice.
And
Tad advice.
And I have lots of life experience. I've done everything from wrangle cattle to be the captain of a cruise ship. So I pretty much got everything encompassed.
Stupid. Harry, final thoughts for this episode.
I think Trump's speech is going to be like that coach speech for everybody. It's going to be that coach they always wanted back in high school when they were playing basketball. I'm going to get droned here.
That's one of the new fly drones.
Yeah. Get spied on.
We've got a CIA fly in the studio that's so loud that everybody just started like, are we going to be blowing up?
Well, you want me to take it out with my six shooter?
Please.
But
it's legal in Indiana.
I think like, because every time like, I am not a huge Trump fan. I think he does, one thing he does do great is make the system be easily to be mocked because it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing about it is that he does make you feel good about America. Because it is just like you would for like any like coach of a losing team gets up there, they get you to want to come back out for the second half.
As my one of my favorite at NCAPs, he does the siren song of nationalism is seductive when he sings it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. It's like, oh man, but wait a minute.
But then you have to put the wax in your ears and go, nationalism is a cancer. Nationalism is a cancer.
It's an infantile disease.
Yes.
Yeah. Other thing is tomorrow night or Friday.
I can't wait to invade with my roving hordes.
Right wing.
I will mandate liberty.
You should have seen the eye roll that nationalistic lens over here when we had our little chant of nationalism is cancer. He was so triggered.
I'm not nationalism is cancer, but we are the people. You sound like a bunch of John Lennons.
No, that's not what we're saying at all. Nationalism.
I feel like I'm at Jeff Vibber's youth pastor camp.
Nationalism and patriotism are the excuses, the indoctrination vehicle to drive people to kill brown people overseas. I mean, it's the justification that is often used to force through big government.
Right.
Yeah. So there's nothing inherently wrong with loving your country and the people that inhabit it.
It's what it does to normally good people.
Right. It becomes an excuse that is used to try and push us into these wars that are stupid, that are silly. So
it just works so well. I wish libertarians would use it a lot more effectively and in a way that could be justified.
Why do you hate the troops?
But it's also, it's antithetical to the individualism that underlies libertarianism. If you're talking about a pure libertarian and Capistan, like our friend Harry wants.
Oh, no, there'd be private physical removal. because you trespass on a property, Harry could come out there and be Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino and get off my lawn.
Oh, and he would.
Except he could shoot you and be scout free.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know.
That sounds fantastic.
I'd probably send a robot out and do it myself. You know?
Yeah, right.
Have an eye removal.
You'd have a fly drone that could just go up and give him a heart attack with the heart attack pin the CIA developed.
Yeah, they had that back in the 60s, man. That's what killed Andrew Breitbart.
The declassification of some of these CIA documents that were just released.
13 million.
Did you see the one on the psychosis?
Project
MK Ultra.
Yuri Gagarin, they had him studied trying to get him to erase magnetic hard drives.
You guys are noobs. Okay. Somebody like the really cool stuff out of that book, the workbook. Dude, actually, some stuff was really cool. Is like how to get a working computer out of a room with it still on, like a desktop. That thing is amazing.
Really?
Yeah, to get because it basically they show you how to hotwire into a UPS desktop computer so you can just wheel it out. Because if, let's say, the computer has had if it has encryption on it, once it's shut off, it's going to encrypt its hard drive. Mm-hmm. So leave it on. Take it. And take the whole computer.
It's why they had to catch Ross Ulbricht at the library after he'd already logged in.
Right, because if he closed his lid, the thing would start encrypting.
Yeah, you'd never be able to get the data. Yeah.
Which my computer will start encrypting itself the moment I'm going to stop there.
The moment white fingertips touch it.
The moment a white fingertip.
Let's try this bad boy out.
He's mostly hiding from his wife, but the CIA as well.
You go into the command prompt and type killwhitey.exe and the whole thing self-encrypts.
You just read about all the shit they've wasted our money on.
Well, Stanford Prison Experiment was the one. You know, that's part of Project MK Ultra. They financed that, and you had graduate students, you know, creating the most hostile prison environment possible when they all knew they were part of a study.
Yeah. The tech stuff is cool, though.
Yeah,
they use it for awful means and how they got it, but it's some really cool stuff in there.
Everybody has a pet project.
Yeah, it's like the atomic bomb. It's really cool, but in the wrong hands, it's problematic.
Trump is...
Oh, man, when you read how they were doing it, because they could figure out the right formula, so they just started going at it at showing random stuff to it. Freaking awesome.
Trump is going to defund the NEA, the National Endowments for Arts.
Oh. And privatize PBS.
Good. And all my artist open mic comedian friends are just, this is outrageous. And everybody has that pet project. Mm-hmm. They wanted
The NEA is the greatest thing to wrestle liberals in the history of ever.
Harry is the biggest ANCAP I know, but the second you want to get rid of CIA funding for cool technology, he's
we could do it, kind of keep this part.
Why not just have civilian taxes. Oversight? You know, it's not a big deal.
Taxation. I don't want them to have it. I just said it's kind of cool to neat look at.
Taxation is that until I can, get in there.
Well, he's like, hey,
computer on and move it out of the room.
I paid for this. I can at least read the papers.
Yeah, but
I know. All right, Aaron Ewart.
Hold up. I'm done.
Oh, all right.
interrupted by everybody
else.
I'm
sorry, Harry.
I wanted to say this, that Seth and I are, we'll be live streaming 7 Days to Die tomorrow night. It's a zombie survival game, a crafting game. We're going to be out there in the wilderness of...
What platform are you going to be on? Twitch?
Twitch. Yeah, Twitch. Yeah.
So we have an official wall Twitch.
Yeah, yeah.
You can. You should create one.
We there is one.
Who is Seth trying to lure with this?
Seth doesn't need help luring. Trust me. Seth is a
hot dude. He just tries to flip.
Hot. He's a hot dude. Yeah. Oh, if you could get Vibbert.
He's gonna work on him.
There is a Weird Libertarians Twitch. We've streamed an episode of Twitch before.
Yeah, he set it up.
He came over and violated my Twitch nap.
Oh. So that's who has it, because I was trying to get it, so I just, you know, yeah, I've just been using Twitch account. So.
Yeah, I'll hook you up.
You're going to bribe him with some beef jerky.
And some tall boy Budweisers.
Are you done, Harry?
Oh, my.
I got the look. Did you see that?
I felt it.
Your internet, like right now.
He went all Samuel L. Jackson on me. Yeah, no, Harry has helped set me up with a router to kind of help fix my slow internet. But he controls my internet, and I didn't get any extra speed, but I got the additional bonus of Harry being able to log in and look at whatever I'm looking at any moment and tell the chat all of that data and how much data I'm using.
You only used 1.8 gigs yesterday.
He has it open right now.
I know.
And three things. So no one was over. It was just you by yourself. You can tell when you have people over because, like, the host go up, the data rate goes up.
Asshole put a parental filter on it when he set it up. And then he got a text message every time I went to YouPorn.
Yeah. Every time.
Every time.
That's really awesome.
Every night about 10:30, pinging, trying to watch my stepsister porn. And
Lacey goes like, what is that? The chat.
I can't believe Grandpa took our room and we got to sleep together.
Listen, stepsister porn is hilarious. There was one the other day that I put in chat. It was, she was going to magic school and she needed someone to help watch her tricks. And guess what disappeared? So it was very funny.
Her hymen?
The baloney pony?
Oh my.
Everything disappeared. So she's really good at magic. It was really cool. It was like watching David Blaine. Aaron!
It's always porn with you.
Yeah. Christmas.
No wonder you have so much low tea.
Christmas episode, you bought me a... large amounts of...
Bought's a liberal way of saying it.
Yeah, you stole it.
For the Jeff Vibbert podcast, we give out presents, and so this year I gifted my friends pornography that
they were just gonna throw it away at work anyway.
I got Greg, I got him Bush.
Yeah, Bush Volume 4,
because he's a Republican,
he's a neocon.
Which one is that? Is that that's the Hispanic Bush that's in and works in Texas.
Yeah. I got what did I get you? It was like tight.
I opened it and Tad immediately took possession.
tight Little White Buns 3. I got Tad. I think I got you Squirting My Gape 4.
Somebody had like Asses of Fire or something.
No, right. You can go big ahead and turn the podcast off.
Big fat asses,
grandma.
Hi, Nana. Final thoughts, Aaron.
Well, you know, I started out appalled by the idea that Trump would be even considered the Republican nominee, much less our president. But the more liberals I see cry, the happier he makes me. And I'm trying to stay positive in 2017 and not autistically screech about the president like I used to. So I'm going to focus on liberals crying tomorrow, and that will bring me much joy.
Drink those tears.
And yes. I'm very much looking forward to comparing our testosterone test together. And hopefully we can live stream that on Facebook and or on the podcast. And I'm hoping that
the
stay.
Reveal, the grand reveal of the whether grand Aaron reveal. Ewert with no hair on
How
his body.
How long does it take to get the results?
Or Dear Leader has higher T.
I get my test on Monday. I don't know. He hasn't ordered his yet.
I haven't ordered mine yet.
It's a $35 test. I'm invested.
Is it Prime eligible?
Yes.
Absolutely.
We have Prime, but it's not coming till Monday for some reason. So, but anyhow, I'm just hoping Spangle doesn't taint his blood with GNC test booster. I've seen that he had a sample ordered. So we're kind of doing the honor system here.
I'm just saying.
I will not accept the outcome of the testosterone.
If you want to go to the YMCA and do some extra deadlifts and things to boost that T, that's fine. That's natural.
I just stick to the recumbent bike. I don't like to lift weights. I just like to get on there with my
Kale flakes and the stepsister porn really take care of it.
Yeah.
Listen, man, that's full of iodine.
That's kale. That's seaweed.
Oh, yeah, I always think those are the same thing.
You get your... No, not the
seaweed. I like seaweed on sushi, disgusting. But that stuff tastes like shit.
One's aquatic, one's land-based.
Kale is a part of the cruciferous family.
Yeah.
I'm getting... I'd also like...
Yeah, we learned about that the other night when I Facebook... or not Facebook, but I FaceTimed you and tried to get you to hang out with me and be my friend, and you were learning about vegetables.
I was. I have a book on vegetables that I was reading. I know, because you go into the grocery...
I thought he was lying. I thought he was watching porn, but he showed me the book.
I don't even watch that much porn.
Well, you talk about it a lot.
Shut up, Harry.
Yeah. we've seen the documents.
Yeah. We have the documents.
Harry knows what you've been watching.
Yeah, it's just...
You even got access to your old camera up there.
It's called 20 Gig Thursday.
He's not supposed to know that.
20 Gig Thursday.
You know, especially when the virus blocker goes up.
Well, that's
you know,
what I do.
Automatically.
But that's when I do the uploads.
It's like on Billy Madison when he runs out to the mailbox. It's Nudie Magazine Wednesday or whatever.
Those came with the porta potty.
Yeah. No, I was having a fun little Saturday night. It was 9:30 here at my house, and Aaron was trying to force me into friendship by FaceTiming me and then asking me to hang out. And I was like, no.
I was just down the road at the Main Street Grill by myself having a brewski.
Which one of us was having the more pathetic Saturday night, considering I'm a single guy and he's...
Well,
got
no, I mean, I was with family. My friends. We had a fantasy football league trophy
ceremony.
Not ceremony. Tyler skipped it.
Not helping your case.
That was the ice storm night. I wasn't getting out of that
shit.
No,
it was the night after the ice storm. He was afraid that it was going to...
Well,
round two,
the warning
was
went through till 1 o'clock Sunday.
You guys give awards out for your Dungeons and Dragons game?
His brother, Jared, won a gilded
sack.
He won the sack.
I have $1,000.
You got the gilded nut sack for getting last place.
I just love that you guys get together and celebrate the accomplishments of other men. It's cute.
Okay. Anyhow,
and so I was reading. I was reading about, you know, you go to the grocery store and there's all these vegetables like bok choy and fennel, and you go, "What?
Bok choy is very good for you.
I've never had it.
Probiotic.
Never had it before. So I was just reading up on it.
It's very good for you.
Bacteria.
I love to cook, and I want to know
a little bit of spinach.
What about like some parsnips?
Spangle taught me that spinach is like one of the only vegetables that's better for you after it's been heated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I learned a lot.
Yeah, it has to be heated.
It was an interesting conversation we had.
Yep.
Well, not. It was involuntary. You forced yourself on them.
Right. That's why your forearms are getting so big, Popeye. It's the spinach.
Hell yeah.
A lot of
just the right
have
one
to be heated up. You know, they're meant to be, you know, not meant to be eaten raw.
Steam, right?
Greg, final thoughts?
Proper way to do it?
Now, I will do my final thoughts on the next episode.
All right.
Our follow-up.
All right. My final thoughts, you know, this... I was at the gym today, and I was sitting in the sauna. And in the sauna, it's right kind of across from the showers. And so I was alone in the sauna, just sitting there, and I was listening, and it was two guys showering next to each other. You know how guys don't talk at the urinal? These guys were nude, showering next to each other at the gym and having a full conversation, which I found weird. But they didn't...
Maybe they were married.
They didn't know... The why is a... Dude, the Y is a totally different culture than the LA Fitness. Nobody was ever naked at LA Fitness.
Very Greek.
At the Y, I've never seen more 90-year-old men balls.
That's because veterans get to go free.
Oh, okay. Well, there's some of these 90-year-olds are packing, okay? They've got...
Packing heat.
Oh, gravity.
Good Lord.
I know.
But, yeah, the... no, you're fine. It was just real loud in my ears. But it's just... dicks everywhere. It's like I'm a female that started Tinder. It's just coming at me. And so I'm sitting there and I'm listening to these two guys and they're just really getting along well. They clearly have never met, but they just for whatever reason started chatting in the shower because that's what I do when I'm
people used to, you know, it used to be called the art of conversation.
Right.
And nowadays so, you look at your, you know, your phone.
You're like, ugh.
That's why
weird.
Your phones are waterproof now, so you don't have to have those awkward shower conversations.
Right.
Asking about the beef dip bear crawl. Or
and so these two are just chatting it up. They're talking about their wives and the mother-in-laws that live with them, and they're just having this great conversation, and like they're really hitting it off. They could be friends. And you can tell that one is just a little bit, they're both middle-aged, one was a little older than the other. And they're having this, probably, they've been talking for like 10 minutes. And then there's just like a little beat, a little pause. And one of them goes, man, I cannot wait for Trump to get into office tomorrow. Now, there had not been any silence in this conversation. It had been tit-tat, 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 back and forth. And then when that was said, it was the most awkward pause. It was so awkward. And the guy goes, yep, I don't know about all that. Which you guys can verify is guy code for, I don't want to hurt your feelings and I don't want to argue, but we're not going to talk about this anymore.
It stops now.
Right. Yep, I don't know about that. Well, then, you know, there's got to be something that's got to change. Well, yeah, I like Obama. I thought he was a good president, and he's leaving the office with dignity. Second, the first guy just paused again, and the second guy, knowing that, all right, well, this is now awkward because neither of us want to talk to each other anymore.
Did they have a talk off?
Goes, well, I'll see you later, and just walked off. The second politics was brought up, these two guys who had gotten together so well and were just enjoying each other's conversation and could be friends, the second they found out that one was a Republican and the other was a Democrat, conversation over, the tea fell to an all-time low, and that one walked off.
Well, and it's not even necessarily Republican, Democrat. Trump's changed the game.
He's so
polarizing, and you know, it is a litmus test of whether you're allowable.
I think Republicans now are embracing Trump, and it's not like it was October. You know what I mean?
He's better than losing.
Sure. So, but it depressed me so much that we're now at a point where two people who have so much in common, who are willing to bro down naked next to each other, can't be friends, and the conversation has to end when you realize you don't agree politically.
That's how extreme the echo chamber was.
Yeah,
I mean, it was really, even really, Fox News didn't cover Trump all that fair, or like all that positively, except for Sean Hannity.
Yep.
So I mean, unless you watched Sean Hannity, what news outlet would you go and hear that Trump, you know, wasn't Hitler?
Yeah.
Rob Kendall show.
Rob Kendall.
But I mean, that's the other, like, where would you go and hear facts?
Yeah.
So, even though it was 24/7 news cover, like it created the most, it amplified the echo chamber so extreme that now, you know, Donald Trump is either Hitler and I can't talk to you because you're a fascist that wants to put people in camp, or, you know, you hate America, blame America for everything, and I don't want to, you know, why don't you want us to be great again?
Right.
There's a lot of people who thinks he's a fascist and wants to put people in camps, getting their names
Disrupt on. J20 is an anti-fascist coalition. That's right. You know.
Meanwhile, they're willing to gas people.
Right.
To stop fascism.
Yeah, they're going
to
do that, but a lot of them put their names out there. They're getting on buses and trains. They're getting recorded going where they're going, and this guy wants to round people up and put people in camps, and you're going to put your name on a list?
Especially they love FDR, and he did that exactly.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
it's different. When he did it wasn't illegal.
All right, so this has been an episode of Weird Libertarians. It's been all over the place, but it's fun. We've had a good time, and I hope that you had a good time. And if you have, please tell a friend. We love to entertain. We love to inform, and we love that you guys listen. So please stay tuned. Our next episode is going to be about the Obama legacy. So thank you for joining us. Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Tad Western. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, me, for doing such a great job on this podcast. And thank you to all of the listeners of We Are Libertarians. And as always, we promise anybody
to do better next time.
He's too busy taking a photo of me.
No, it was Aaron was doing the sprinkling.
I was memeing
on
you.
You're memeing on me? All right. Thank you. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.